an expression I think I remember what Hilda said just now. Be centered and have an intention. Is that what you said? That's the summary of the talk. To be centered and have an intention. I wanted to talk this morning about aspiration. And there's a collection of words that are related, almost synonyms, like aspiration or intention, motivation, having a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, maybe perhaps, that all could be seen as very important, certainly to Buddhist spirituality, and I would say probably to human life. But I like the word aspiration a lot. Two words I like the most is aspiration and the word resolve. Mostly I'll focus on aspiration. And the reason I like aspiration is that the etymology of the word comes from the word breath, like to respire, aspire. And so it comes from breath. To have our aspiration for our life, our sense of purpose, our direction, to come from our breath, or to be centered in our breath first, not to be ahead of our breath, but to be with our breath when we give birth to, or we give expression to, our aspirations and intentions. Human beings could probably just as well be called human desirelings, because desire is such a huge part of what we do, desiring. We're not expected to stop desiring, but it's possible to transform our desires into something that can be quite ennobling, quite powerful, quite significant for certainly a spiritual life. And I think it's easy in that we'd be human desirelings to be filled, or sometimes filled with desires, wants, and then to hear about meditation or hear about Buddhist practice and just becomes one more want. Just add it. Some people are already quite busy doing a lot of different things and running around. And then they hear, oh, I should meditate too, so I'll run around and fit that in. Just kind of squeeze that into the schedule. One more thing to want and desire. And supposed to read those books and go to those talks. And it just becomes more and more stuff to do. Aspiration is very important for Buddhist spiritual life. But I'd like to suggest that it should come after, to quote Hilda, after we're centered. That it should come after we've done some work on ourselves to somehow prepare ourselves to be a person who has this kind of desire and aspiration, a wish. So not to have the breath in front, ahead of ourselves, but to be with our breath, have the breath in the forefront, in a sense. I certainly notice in myself sometimes when I sit down to meditate that part of the process of meditation is catching up to myself. I'm kind of ahead of myself with thoughts and desires and concerns and everything. And I think certain level of my concerns and thoughts and direction I'm going has to settle down so I can really be here in some quality way. Be here, really here, and not thinking ahead or into the future. So how we are is important. And I'd like to suggest that two different modes of how people can be, or two different views of how to engage in this life. And one of them I call the utilitarian mode, and the other I call the appreciative mode. And the utilitarian mode is the mode of efficiency, of getting things, wanting things, becoming things, manipulating things. The utilitarian mode is more about nurturing things or tending things or appreciating things, appreciating what's there. So rather than the focus being, oh, what can I do with this stuff in order to get something, the focus is more, how can I appreciate what's here? Can I appreciate what's happening here? Whereas a utilitarian mode is all about knowledge and understanding so you can change something, I'd like to suggest that the appreciative mode is more about wisdom, the wisdom that kind of sees deeply so we can appreciate and understand what's there in its own value, rather than seeing its value in terms of what it can do for us or where it can get us. In some ways, the difference between the two, from in my mind, is a little bit encapsulated in the difference between getting congratulations versus getting admiration. You could kind of manipulate a situation to get congratulated, but admiration is something deep down inside, it's something coming out from inside of a person, something maybe you don't even see, and the person has admiration for you. And so admiration comes out of this appreciative mode, and congratulations might or might not, but I think of it something that, or the difference between, you can, in a very utilitarian way, get yourself ready to sleep and go to bed, but the utilitarian mode is not going to get you to sleep. How do you get to sleep? It's kind of, you have to kind of let go, or something else happens, I think, rather than just kind of manipulate, okay, turn off now, close those eyes and shut off. Or the difference between pleasure and joy. That you can manipulate the world so you can get pleasure. Lots of people do it all the time. Some people are experts at it when they drink or, all kinds of activities we do to get pleasure. You can get a massage and you can get pleasure. But joy is a whole different phenomena. That you can't really manipulate the world so easily to get joy or to keep deep abiding sense of well-being. So the suggestion here is that there's these two different modes of being, one utilitarian and one appreciative. And that the aspiration in Buddhist practice, I think, arises in a much more effective way, much more utilitarian way, if it arises out of the appreciative mode. So just settle back and settle back a little bit to center yourself, or find some kind of ability to be here, to be relaxed here, to be willing to be here, some willingness to not to know. The utilitarian mode is all about knowing. You have to know. The appreciative mode allows lots of space for not knowing. Not knowing. So is it okay not to know? And in that not knowing, allow something to be born, something to happen. So aspiration is very important. Oh, so the other word I like is resolve. And the reason I like the word resolve is that, again, it has to do with the etymology of the word. And it comes from the word solve, which comes from the word like solution. It kind of means to solve or untie. Resolve has an etymological meaning of to untie something, to return it to solution, and make a solution out of something. So the idea of untying, and I think that works really well for Buddhist spirituality, because part of the vision of Buddhist spirituality is the possibility of untying our knots, our entanglements, the way that our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, our feelings, our emotions are entangled with all kinds of different things. And in that entanglement, it sacrifices our well-being and our happiness. So to have a resolve, that the word implies to dissolve. Dissolve the entanglements. But because there are other words for aspiration that connected to aspiration, like strive or even struggle, that lend itself to get tight and actually makes more knots, ties us up even more. But when I hear the word resolve, some people it means grit your teeth, But for me it means, oh yeah, let's dissolve, let's relax, let's let go. Recently I came across this quote by Meister Eckhart, the Christian mystic from long ago. And he wrote, "I have read many writings, both by the pagan teachers and by the prophets," who are pagans, "by the pagan teachers and by the prophets, to find which is the greatest and best virtue with which a person can most completely and closely conform him or herself to God. And as I scrutinize all these writings, so far as my reason can lead and instruct me, I find no other virtue better than pure detachment from all things." It's like going to Stanford and getting a PhD in religious studies and find out that the best thing you could do is just let go. Let go. So we don't use the word detachment I don't know what the German was. He wrote in German, I think. But we don't use the word detachment so much in our circles, but non-attachment we use, or letting go we use. So aspiration, what's the aspiration that gets born from us when we relax a little bit and get centered and settled? I've known people who've gone on vacation or gone on retreats, really get away from the normal life as usually lived, so they can really delve into the depths of their heart, depths of their being, to really know what they want, when they have to make a big decision perhaps, or think of a future for the direction for their life, to really step out of the normal hustle and bustle of things, to really find out what, really listen deeply inside, what is it really that deep down inside needs to happen, or what are the inner voices there, often obscured. So there is this kind of preparation that happens for aspiration. How do you prepare yourself in order to have an aspiration, have a deep intention for your life, to do the work of preparing? And then, after that preparation, then it involves in part having a vision. We put a lot of emphasis on being here now in our tradition, and some people feel, well, then I can't think about there and then, you know, into the future. But I think having a vision, having a capacity to visualize or imagine a future is really important for probably any spiritual life, but certainly a Buddhist one. So to envision what is possible for us, for you. And the smaller that vision is, the smaller the aspiration will be. The bigger the vision is, the bigger the aspiration. The trick is to make it realistic. But still, if you don't spend much time envisioning what's possible, then it's not possible. And I think that part of the function of a center like IMC or other centers like this is that people come here sometimes kind of with some intuition or some vague sense or that something here is useful or something helpful, or that or maybe even a friend kind of dragged them here. And then coming to a center, so they kind of discover a possibility. Wow, I had no idea this was possible. I had no idea it was possible to get so settled, or to have a certain kind of peace, or to see myself so deeply, or have that level of a self-acceptance, or discover that capacity for compassion. And then, so it shows a possibility. And that possibility then becomes kind of a vision. Oh, I see a possibility. And I think that possibility is something I'd like to grow into. I'd like to move towards, incline myself towards. So to spend time imagining, using your imagination, what is possible for me? What can I do for myself? What can I do for others? How can I imagine what I could be? Now for me, you know, this thing about preparing yourself and letting go to some degree and settling yourself here, centering yourself here, that itself shows a possibility. Oh, it's possible to be centered. It's possible to be settled. It's possible to be at peace, at ease, here and now. And you know something? I'm not this way 95% of the time. So, my vision is to do it at least 25% of the time, or 30% of the time, or, you know, expand the range in which we feel this kind of freedom, or this kind of intimacy, or this kind of settledness, or this sense of well-being that might exist. Oh, I have a vision to expand this. So for me, in my early years of practice, probably still to many degrees, I found that a huge thing that motivated me was that vision of expanding the sense of well-being I had in meditation out into the rest of my life. And so it was like I would expand it a little bit into a little bit wider circle in my life. And then once I had a sense of that, then I had a vision that it was possible to do even more. And then I had a vision that it was possible to do even more. And it was always this kind of sense of vision or a sense of imagination or a sense of seeing the possibility. Oh, can I do more of this? I can do more of this. Now, it wasn't completely imagination, because it was also based on feeling directly what it was like not to do that. You know, if you're standing on a nail, you know, it's good to have a vision that it's possible to lift your foot up and not stand on it, right? So when you're suffering, it's good to have some vision of it's possible not to suffer. It's possible not to be stressed. It's possible not to be contracted. It's possible not to be afraid. It's possible not to have fear penetrate our life all the time. It's possible to do the work it takes to relax the muscles, relax the nerves, relax the bones even, to relax really deep inside into our marrow so that the fear that might be there all the time doesn't have to be there all the time. So to have vision, that's possible. So that vision is born from many things. It's born from our own internal sense, but also it's born in seeing it in other people sometimes. We see that someone else, oh, that person doesn't seem to be motivated by fear all the time or by desire all the time. It's more settled. And so you meet other people who kind of show you that possibility. And, oh, maybe that's possible for me. When I was a Zen student, there was a little expression that was very, very meaningful for me, coming from the Chinese Zen masters. It went something like this, that don't think that the great masters of old were any different than you. They also struggled tremendously with great obstacles in order to become masters. But they started off just like you. So that was actually quite encouraging, because it was really difficult for me to practice. But they were sent, oh, it was difficult for them too. You know, why should it not be difficult? That was actually very encouraging rather than discouraging. So they became kind of a model that inspired my vision. So there's a vision, and then there's a aspiration, a motivation. We're motivated actually to somehow grow into that vision. And then there's following through on it, acting on it. So vision, intention, and action. And some people shortchange themselves on the vision side. Some people shortchange themselves on the aspiration side. And some people shortchange themselves on the action side. And they have great vision, great aspiration, but there's no follow-through. There's no action in the world. So what does it take to have all those three aligned so they become mutually supportive, so they work on each other? One of the things there's many things to be said in that, and each of you will have your own answers. I don't have an answer for you exactly. But one of the things I'd like to recommend is that it begins with being centered. It begins with just kind of settling back a little bit and making space for something unknown, almost, to bubble up inside of you, to relax a little bit, to be centered, to be not to have the breath ahead of yourself, but to have the breath be in the forefront, to aspire, to breathe. Breathe. And then out of that, being centered in your breath, being relaxed in your breath, what is it that can be born? What can arise out of that? I think out of that can come vision, aspiration, and action. So I would like to do a meditation with you, a guided reflection. So if you could take a meditative posture. Gently close your eyes. First, I'll read a quote by George Washington Carver. How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life you will have been all of these. So take a couple of relaxed, deep, long breaths. Settle in. And then let your breath return to normal. And over the next few exhales, as you exhale, relax your body. Relax your shoulders, your belly, your face. Relax your heart. And if aspiration is going to come from breathing, can you, to the best of your ability, center yourself a little bit on the breathing? So if we're sitting here now in this room, this time, but with your capacity for imagination, imagine into the future some time frame that you can imagine, like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If you think back 5, 10, 20 years, you realize how quickly it goes. But think ahead, 5, 10, 20 years. Maybe even some sense of infinite time. Great, boundless time, no beginning, no end, infinite time. And in the context of a long time frame, how would you answer the following questions? What is really important in your life? Over 5, 10, 20 years, over a lifetime, over infinity of time, what really matters for you? What would you be better off doing more of? What activities, what things would you be better off doing more of, given this, what's most important? What would you be better off doing less of? Of all the things you've done, what makes you most satisfied? What are your most satisfying relationships? What are your most satisfying relationships like? And finally, and maybe given all this, what aspiration do you have for yourself? Or what aspiration do you have? What is your deepest aspiration? So now I was hoping that you'd be willing to turn to someone next to you, near you, and share something about what came out of that reflection. It doesn't have to be something really personal if you feel like it was being too personal is too much. But share something about what came out of that. And if you don't want to do that sharing, you can just sit quietly and wait. It's just be a few minutes for this. But I think it'd be nice if some sharing happened. And so why don't you do that, please, and then I'll ring a bell in a few minutes. And just take 5 minutes, so the two of you somehow to share back and forth a little bit. Thank you. One of the words that could be translated as aspiration or resolve or determination from the Pali is adhitana. And one of the ways adhitana is sometimes translated is sustaining power. It's also, aspiration is also one of the things that helps sustain our efforts, our power, our energy, or what we do. And there are many things a person can aspire to. A lot of beautiful things. There's aspiration for truth, aspiration for justice, aspiration for wisdom, aspiration for peace, for love, for compassion. I think that aspiration is can be one of the very beautiful qualities of a human heart, and to encounter people with strong aspiration, it can be quite beautiful to see that and meet that. But please, with the aspiration, never sacrifice the present moment. Never sacrifice your breath. Let your breath be first. Let your breath take the lead, and let the aspiration follow. If your aspiration leads and your breath follows, then you're in trouble. So, thank you very much. In a few minutes, we'll have a potluck. I hope many of you stay. And those of you who have been coming for a long time, if you kind of would introduce yourself to people who might be new and who want to be met, it'd be nice to kind of, you know, reach out to people who might be new. Thank you.